Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you that we can come to you. We thank you for your word and help us to glean from it. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have about a half a dozen psalms ahead of us, all written by David, I believe, and all written under situations of extreme danger and pressure. And I mentioned to one of you who came in earlier and said, we're in such tough times in the end days and all. And I said, I don't think we have half as tough a time as David had. I don't think we have nearly as hard a time as our forefathers had. I think we've got it pretty easy. Yes, I don't like the press and I don't like how this country has fallen away from the Lord. But for the believer, we're in better shape than anybody's ever been, right? We're closer to his coming and we've got more fulfillments that we can look at and see than anybody's ever had. So much to be thankful for. So this morning, we have a psalm entitled Answered Prayer for Deliverance from Adversaries. So let's see what we can glean from David's prayer here and from the Word of God. We begin in this prayer by saying, well, first let me give you the setting and then I'll sing a song here. But this is a contemplation of David when the Ziphites went and said to Saul, is David not hiding with us? So to set the scene here a little bit more, because all of us have Ziphites in our lives. And Ziphites are not pleasant to have in your life. But we see here in 1 Samuel 23 that David and about 600 of his men, while they were on the run, this village of Keilah, not too far from Gath in that general area, it's a little bit south, a little bit west of Jerusalem, was under danger from being overrun by the Philistines. So David was really called by the Lord to go rescue that city. So he takes his men, they go in and rescue the city, defeat the Philistines, deliver the city. And news of that reaches Saul, who said, oh, good, now I got David inside of a walled city. I can go get him. So David is alerted by the Lord. Will they turn me over to Saul when he comes? And the Lord said, yes, they will. And then it says, David leaves the Keilah. He and his men, about 600, departed wherever they could go. And David stayed in the strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains of the wilderness of Ziph. Paul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. But here we have the traitors, the betrayers, wanting to turn Saul in. And I think about our nation today. Think about how many today are willing to turn in our liberty and our freedom for the government to take care of us. Think about this election coming up. Now, on the surface, as I look at it, I couldn't see how anybody would vote for anyone who's running on the platform of one of the two parties, because it's just hideous. And yet, there's many that want that, don't they? Many that want. I hear at least 40% of the graduating college kids today are full looking forward to socialism, because they don't have a clue to what we have here, because they've been taught this is a bad country, right? But at any rate, as we get into this, it's David now is going to begin the prayer by saying, save me, O God, by your name, by your name. And so this is really what this psalm is about. It's about prayer. It's about the power and the name of God. It will end in something similar to that. It says, I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. So let's begin by calling upon the Lord and singing along this song, Call Upon the Lord, if you will, please. Words are on the front page. Thank you.
announce the fullness of your word. This we know.
To that. So, pressure situations, times of difficulties, all of us have them. What can we learn from this psalm in such situations? And several things jumped out at me, but let's see what jumps out at you, because the Spirit gets to us in whatever way we need it, I think. Remember now, the Ziphites, treacherous Ziphites, turned David in. These were not enemies from Moab or from Ammon. These were from Judah, his own tribe. It's really painful when those closest to you betray you, right? So this is a pretty serious situation here. I mean, it's more than just, you know, like I sometimes say, had a flat tire or, you know, your dryer went out or something or other. Yeah, those are problems, but this is a little bit more than that, I think. So what do we do? What do you do? What do you do in times of great adversity? Well, here's what David says in this psalm. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. So what's he doing? He's turning this desperate situation over to whom? To the neighbor next door, or to your prayer circle, or who to? He turns it over to God. Save me, O God, by your name. Just think of the power in the name of God. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Think of the strength of the Lord. Move over, Ziphites. You don't have a chance, right? Verse 2, hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. I like Spurgeon's comment on this thing. He says, when we pray with our mouth, it activates and keeps our mind alert and awake compared to praying silently. So I think that's very true, at least at times. Now, there's times when, you know, prayer gets beyond words, really. But at the same time, hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. So this is an urgent situation. Why? Strangers have risen up against me. He's calling his brothers strangers here. But they are like strangers. We may maybe even have some in our own family, right? We're very close to them by blood, but we're strangers to them because they don't want to talk about the Lord, and they don't have anything in common about the Lord. And what they want to talk about, we don't have anything in common with, right? But for strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought my life. And again, I look at that. I look at socialism. I look at Marxism and all of those things that want to get your life so they can get control and get your money. Oppressors sought after my life. And typical, they have not set God before them. Any enemy oppressor of yours, I can almost guarantee, has not set God before them, at least at this kind of situation here with the betrayal of something like this. But now we change. Now we go to victory, in a way. And we have a great word here in verse 4. Behold, behold, behold. Do you ever use that word in your vocabulary? Behold. Pretty strong word. It means stop and look and observe something important. Behold. What is it to behold? God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. So notice the faith there. I think it's very interesting. We look at David and all the troubles he's going through. But we need to remember, what is God preparing him for? You know, the calling is pretty simple. The preparation for that calling is a little more difficult. David's going to have 17 years or thereabouts of preparation. Now here he is, maybe in his first 2 years. He's early on now. He's just forming his band, right, after getting kicked out, after fleeing from Saul. So he's got another 15, he doesn't know that, but he's got another 15 years ahead of trouble. But look at the faith. The faith inside of ongoing trouble is so strong here that he says, God is my helper. Not God will be my helper, or God has been my helper. I don't know about now, but he is my helper, present tense. And then the Lord is, present tense, with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. I like that. What does that tell you? How do you handle vengeance? How do you handle vengeance? David is saying, I'm going to leave it with the Lord. He will repay my enemies for their evil. So every time you read of one of these terrible blasphemers from Capitol Hill or wherever they are in the world, remember, God will repay. He will repay my enemies for their evil. He will cut them off. That cut there really is kind of an interesting, it's a silent destruction. It is even more powerful than a noisy destruction, because a noisy destruction, you maybe hear it and be aware of it, but this is a silent, powerful destruction where you're just wiped out, without even making a noise. That's the way God does it, isn't it? I think. But he says, cut them off in their truth? No way. In their lies? No, in your truth. Beautiful. And then verse 6, I will freely sacrifice to you. I can come to the altar freely now. I've unloaded my problem on you. I'm not encumbered with anger and vengeance. I've given that to you. Now I can freely sacrifice to you. And I will what? Praise your name. So how common is that phrase in times of great distress that you go through? I don't know. I don't think about praising the Lord's name too much when I'm in great pain. Well, here he has turned this over to the Lord, and then he can say, I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. Verse 7, he has delivered me out of all trouble. And again, what faith that is to say that in David's shoes. He's got 600 guys, all ragtag outlaws, basically. They have no place to go. They're fleeing for their lives, or running from one cave to another, from one hiding place to another. And he says, the Lord's delivered me out of all my trouble. Wow. Now, we can say that when we look backward, can't we? I mean, is anybody can say in here, God let me down? Oh, God really let me down back when? I don't think so. He has delivered me out of all my trouble, and my eyes have seen its desire upon my enemies. He sees, has faith in the Lord taking care of it. So he's liberated. He's relieved. So what do we learn here? Well, to me, a transference of several things occurs here in my mind. One, I transfer the danger and the difficulty in the situation to him, right? First thing I'm doing in praying there. And then I let him take care of my vengeance desire. These are people who really hurt him. Be easy to want to take vengeance on them because he's a warrior, right? Chop their head off, right? Get them, you know? But he turns it over to the Lord. Do you do that? Do I do that? Not enough. So he turns the vengeance over. The second thing. The third thing, he has no personal anger or animosity toward them because he's given it over to the Lord. And that's a big thing, isn't it? That's forgiveness, isn't it? In a way, totally, by turning it over to the Lord. So here, he's not going around, oh, those Ziphites, man, if I ever run into a Ziphite, man, I'll take care of him. No, it's in the Lord's hands. So this is, to me, just a great teaching psalm here of times of trouble, times of great difficulty, turning it to the Lord, giving him the vengeance, giving him my anger, and then freely sacrificing, in other words, freely giving him and praising his name and saying, yes, oh Lord, it is good. You are good. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this precious psalm. And we thank you for your faithfulness and that we can turn to you. And so today, we have much to pray for as always. And guide us and lead us by your Spirit that we would use these moments as you would lead us. In Jesus' name. As we come to the end here of this hour, verse 6 in today's psalm reads, I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. Let's sing this song. The refrain is, O praise the name of the Lord our God. O praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. O Lord, our God.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, His hands, His feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid Him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. On praise the name of the Lord our God. On praise His name forevermore. For in this days we will sing Your praise. Oh Lord our God. And then on the third at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trample there, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my face transfixed on Jesus' face.
Closing thought here, familiar verse in Philippians, first chapter, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. A lot of work to be done. That means a lot of adversity. It means a lot of trouble. It means a lot of trials, a lot of rough edges, and even chunks to be taken out at times. But He's going to do it. Not you, not me. We cannot sanctify ourselves. But we can fight Him. And He's still going to do it, but it's going to be a rougher road. Go along with the program. Go along with the program. So we praise Him. And when you think that through, if you think He's going to bring probably several billion people to completion, can you think of anything that He's ever done that's as great as that? I just think about what He's done in my life. I mean, that's impossible. In all of us, it's impossible. But He will complete it.